Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our subject today is The Seven Rays, Part 6, and today we're talking about Ray 5 in particular. That's our subject for today. And when we speak about rays, we're speaking about subtle nuances of the universe that affect us. And I think with the most recent science discoveries, especially quantum physics, we are finding out that there are so many things that have an effect on human beings that no longer can the five senses be looked at as a barometer for measurement as to what reality is. And so with that in mind, today we're going to explore Ray 5, the rays being these energies or frequencies that do have effect on us, the world, our personality. And our thought today is from our founder, Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of Lucis Trust, and Lucis Trust is the organization that sponsors this show, Inner Sight. There is one life which expresses itself primarily through the seven basic qualities or aspects, and secondarily through the myriad diversity of forms. These seven radiant qualities are the seven rays. And before we go forward, I'd like Sarah and Dale to recap for our audience what's been said so far. And would you do that for us, please?
Well, very briefly, as I've mentioned on earlier programs, this science of the seven rays is extremely complex. And there's no way that we can really do it justice, even in a series of radio programs. All we're trying to do is introduce people to some of the basic ideas of the seven rays, and then if they're interested, they can perhaps study some of the writings of Alice Bailey on this science on their own. But as the opening quote said, there is one life which expresses itself as seven basic qualities. Dale used the analogy of a prism, which breaks down light, which is one light, into seven colors. And in a sense, this is the expression of divinity in our world. It's broken down into seven essential energy patterns. And to remind people of the seven rays, there's the first ray of power, the second ray of love and wisdom, the third ray of intelligence, the fourth ray of harmony through conflict, the fifth ray of knowledge, the sixth ray of devotion and idealism, and the seventh ray of order, organization, and ritual. All of these seven rays express divine energy as it manifests in the outer world. We could say no ray is better than another ray. They're all equally divine.
Yes, and last time we talked about the fourth ray of harmony through conflict, and that is the ray that teaches the art of living in order to produce a synthesis of beauty. And the emphasis is upon achieving harmony that comes out of conflict. In other words, achieving a balance between the polar opposites. And
that seems to imply that conflict can be productive and creative.
I think it can, and I think that's a good way to see conflict. We tend to get horrified and depressed by a lot of conflict, but if we can see it as a positive thing, as as an obstacle to be overcome and an opportunity to move forward to the next step that a person must take. I think that's one way of looking at a more positive way at conflict.
We touched on that in our discussion last week, that conflict sometimes can create enough agitation and questioning that you reconsider some of your favorite dogmas and perceptions about the world and about yourself. So it can kind of throw things up in the air and allow you to see reality in a new way.
Right.
And out of that emerges harmony.
Right. And the fourth ray of harmony through conflict is also considered to be a bridging energy, because it helps to bridge between the lower and higher aspects of, like, the lower kingdoms and the upper, the kingdoms beyond humanity. So,
yeah, humanity is ruled by the fourth ray, or governed by the fourth ray. That's why conflict is so familiar to us.
Right. And it's our duty as human beings to kind of achieve a bridging between the lower kingdoms and the higher kingdoms, and that's really where the energies of this fourth ray come into play.
So. Well, am I correct in this assumption? Now, I'm trying to understand the rays and how we're affected, but what I'm looking at now and what I understand at this point is that I, for example, and all of us, let's take myself for example. I'm predisposed to a particular ray based on my personal evolution, and perhaps based on my reincarnation karma and where I am at this particular point. And all of those, the sum total of all those things, would predispose me in this particular life experience to a particular ray. Is that correct?
Well, to some extent, but I don't want people to have the sense that there's any competition in trying to have a certain pattern of ray energies diagnosed in one's makeup. Mm-hmm. One ray is not better than another, and to use them to stereotype and perhaps to peg people in a way that's negative or critical is a misuse of this very sacred teaching about the seven expressions of divinity. But yes, in the sense that we get what we deserve and what we need, we have all the attributes in our makeup psychologically that enable us to express and achieve what we are capable of.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some people who might be governed, for example, by the ray of power in a way that they use power for truly magnanimous ends. And then there are other people who are governed by the ray of power who use it for selfish purposes. So it all depends on one's level of evolution.
And then in another incarnation, we may go into being predisposed to a different ray. So
yes.
It is true what Kyle Gibran says, that when we discover a truth about ourselves, that it's only a truth, and there may be an infinite number of truths to discover. We have another thought by Alice Bailey that I like a lot about the fifth ray. The fifth ray of concrete knowledge and science is steadily increasing in potency, and the result of its influence will be to guide humanity into increasing knowledge. Its energy beats upon the minds of men and women at this time and produces that stimulation which lies behind all the scientific approach to truth in all departments of human thought. Well, that's a profound thought that we could spend the whole show on, but we have to move on. Is the energy of the fifth ray, is it really possible for all scientific investigation today?
Well, I think that the fifth ray probably is the urge to know, to investigate, to explore. We can see that behind all scientific procedures and pursuits. I think of the fifth ray as the kind of energy that probably drove the early explorers out to the North Pole, for example. Uncharted territory beckoned to them, and they had to know about it. The Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. To me, that's the essence of the fifth ray as a spiritual, compelling energy.
Yes, I don't know if we can make a blanket statement that all scientific investigation today is responsible because of the fifth ray, but a good part of it is. After all, this energy provides the quality that stimulates scientific study and research and the souls that are come in along this particular line of energy are open to scientific research. I mean, it's in their character, it's in their makeup as they are born. They're born with these characteristics. So, yeah, they simply follow the line of pursuit that is most natural to them, and that happens to be along the path of concrete knowledge or of scientific investigation.
It's said in the writings of Alice Bailey that this energy of the fifth ray is what is causing the human intellect to develop exceedingly rapidly. And we can see this in a study of history, that even 100 years ago, the mass literacy rate was much lower than it is today worldwide. The United Nations Development Program charts the growth of literacy among the world's peoples, and it's really encouraging to see how it's grown exponentially in the last few decades and certainly in the last century. This is, I think, implied in that opening statement, that this energy of the fifth ray of concrete knowledge and science beats upon the minds of men. It's a compelling spiritual energy that makes people want to know, to think, to discover, to have the freedom to think for themselves. We start out as human beings doing it in rather strange ways, because the fifth ray is what's behind, for example, the ideologies like socialism, fascism, communism. Those are distorted presentations of a code or a doctrine that would enable a right civilization to develop. But we learn through the experience of failure as well as through success, and these ideologies are a stab by human beings to use the mind to ground ideas and to present governing principles. We can also see this fifth ray in fundamentalism of any kind, and the fundamentalists aren't just found in religion.
No, but it's also a... I have to keep this in mind, I think, all the time, that these are divine qualities. Mm. And they mm-hmm. are qualities that are part, just a part of this greater plan that's working out on Earth. And each one of these ray qualities, these ray energies, provides a certain quality that is needed to round out this, the working out of this plan. And that's why the scientific investigation and research is so important in this at this time in this part of the world, and so mm-hmm. that's why we have such a prominence of this ray energy working out in the world today.
Well, it's certainly, I can see that the last 100 years has been such a tremendous growth in science interest and so many discoveries. But do only scientists respond to the fifth ray energy, and who would be a typical example of someone working on this ray?
Science includes a lot more than just, for example, chemistry, physics, so on. It would include economics and the social sciences. So it's a broader term than one might think. I have an example, but I know you do too, of people who are governed by science.
I think we have to include people like Einstein in that category, and certainly Thomas Edison and Nikola Tesla.
Yeah.
And
Edison's a good example, because we talked about him before, that he carried out many investigations that failed before he finally figured out the light bulb.
Right, and these inventors worked with electricity, and that's very much aligned with this ray energy. And also Marconi gave us the radio and the wireless radio, and Alexander Graham Bell, who gave us the telephone, of course. And all these great inventions that came out in the 19th century. This was a tremendously stimulating period and of growth in science.
I have another example, though, that's more recent. It's a man who's been written up in the National Geographic three times in the past year for a really major experiment that he's conducted in Africa. His name is Michael Fay. Some of our listeners might have read about him. And I think the experiment took over a year to carry out, but he conducted, I think the word is a transect. He transected about 1,000 miles of the previously unexplored African jungle. And the National Geographic wrote about his transect, which means simply, as I understand it, a line that's charted through a particular region, and the scientist follows that line, not deviating from it, and documents everything in the natural world that's found in that particular path. So he and his helpers carried out a journey through the African jungle, a direct line from the Congo to the Atlantic coast of over 1,000 miles through jungle and mangrove swamps. And it was a very physically difficult journey. He kept piles of notebooks. He charted everything he saw, discovered new species of flora and fauna. And to me, that's an excellent example of the fifth ray of the scientific mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's fascinating, too. It's just everything you're saying just underscores the idea that the last 150 years has been very dominated almost by the fifth ray, then, of science. It's really interesting. But at any rate, for those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and today we're speaking about the seven rays. We're doing, we're focusing on ray five, which has a lot to do with science, the influence of concrete knowledge in science. And we'll continue to explore that in a little while. But in the meantime, if there are those people out there that would like to order a copy of this show or of any of our previous shows, you certainly may do so. We'd welcome you to call us. And additionally, if you want the general package of information, if you'd like to find out who we are, what we're all about, and if you'd like to explore philosophy, spiritual philosophy with us, we'd certainly welcome you. I think the most frequently asked question that we get is, are you a religion? No, we are not a religion. We have people who explore life and philosophy with us who are from a multiple number of backgrounds with religions and nationality, and all are welcome to experience the joy of discovery with us. So give us a call if you'd like to order any of our books, our cassette tapes, or if you'd like to, if you want to focus on scratching the surface of this a little bit further and taking a look at the seven rays, you can certainly do so by ordering Esoteric Psychology, Part 1, Volume 1, and Esoteric Psychology, Volume 2. You can order those books by calling us directly. The toll-free number, once again, is 1-866-695-8247. And the easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York Lucis, NY Lucis, LUCIS. Our website is www.lucistrust.org. And if you'd like to key into that website, you can look at all of our previous archived library of shows that you can listen to, providing you have an audio. Our email is newyork@lucistrust.org. And once again, that's to order the general package of information, letting you know who we are, what we're all about, and how to explore life and philosophy with us. Do also remember that this show is funded by the generous donations of our listeners, and we need and we welcome your support. In what ways, back to our discussion of the fifth ray about concrete knowledge and science and the influence on humanity, in what ways would the fifth ray express itself through a person?
I suppose it would demonstrate in a commitment to truth above all other values. Mm-hmm. The fifth ray often governs the mind of an individual, although it can also govern the personality or the soul. But many people have a mind, a way of thinking that is governed by the fifth ray. They are people who appreciate detail, work with detail, respect truth without wanting to bend doctrines and theories to their own ideology.
Yes, as we've mentioned many times before, they have, for each of the rays, there are special virtues that appear through people that, and there are also the vices, and one of the vices that tends to come out, particularly in some that are prominently attuned to the fifth ray, would be a kind of a narrowness of view. Kind of an arrogance or maybe a lack of sympathy or something like that. And so these are just ways that we can understand the psychology of a human being, not necessarily someone who's very neurotic, but just any human being will have these particular virtues and vices. And so these are ways to study an individual and look at his psychology and his psychological makeup and understand where he's coming from and what he has to work out. So.
The fifth ray mind, as I mentioned, can be prone to discrimination. This is an example of something that can be used either constructively or in an unconstructive sense. We have to be able to discriminate between this and that. That's part of the mind, to be able to perceive nuances and to distinguish one thing from another. Discrimination can also be used to develop a finely honed sense of values. We need that. We need to be able to recognize the greater and prefer it over the lesser value. But this same tendency can also, as I mentioned, turn into kind of a fundamentalist approach. And it's interesting that a lot of people who have a naturally scientific approach to life tend to like to identify certain fundamentals. It's a natural propensity of their character that they like to identify the fundamentals, the really basic things in life. And when that's applied, for example, to religion, it can be a kind of a crystallizing hardening of one's viewpoint that creates walls and barriers.
Yeah, there is that wonderful expression in the literature of Alice Bailey books that the mind is the slayer of the real. And that would be a case where, in a strong fifth ray type, that he's so detail oriented that he's not really open to anything that lies beyond, to the realities that underlie the form life that he's working through and studying.
I think the best way to avoid that tendency is to use the mind in two directions. The mind is the way we make sense of the outer objective world that we perceive through our five senses. Mm-hmm. The mind is also the way we penetrate to the inner side of life and to become open to ideas and principles that are more abstract. So when we purposely try to develop the capacity of the mind to reach both inward as well as to deal with life on an outward level, mm-hmm. maybe then we're avoiding a tendency to become fixated or crystallized.
Yeah, it's so interesting what Dale was saying too before about the about how when I was reading the Alice Bailey material and looking at the science aspect, it was so fascinating. But it also has its shadow side, each ray, its dark side, which is mm-hmm. fascinating. Mm-hmm. How is this energy, speaking about the science ray again, concrete science ray, concrete knowledge and science, how is it helping humanity advance spiritually?
Well, as we've said before in our discussions, the spiritual is not necessarily the religious impulse. Spiritual pursuits can express in a number of different ways that people might not think of as being spiritual, and yet they are. For example, the tendency of the human being to want to discover new things about the earth, to explore, as Michael Fay did, the jungle of Africa, where no human being had ever been there before. That's deeply spiritual, because it shows the human mind and its quest to know. And because, as we've said, man is literally one who thinks, our obligation as human beings is to know and to think, to use our mind, to be agents for God's plan on earth. We can't do that if we don't think.
Yes, and we have to keep in mind that scientific investigation continues to, it probes into the inner secrets of the outer forms and towards the inner dimensions. And it's helping to break down the veil of unknowing and ignorance that tends to separate the human kingdom and the inner kingdom of God, the kingdom of souls. So that is deeply spiritual because it is advancing human awareness, it's awakening human consciousness to greater and greater inclusiveness, and this is essentially what spirituality is. It isn't necessarily religious because it is that which opens human consciousness to the whole of creation, and that is essentially what the scientific investigation is doing. Whether they are conscious of this or not, that's something else. Mm-hmm. But technology is expanding our understanding of the world, I mean, through the telephone and the internet and the computers and the radio, the wireless radio and all of that. We're becoming more integrated, and we're beginning to realize more and more our interdependence, and this is greatly enhancing our spiritual life in the world.
Do we have any more that we want to say about that?
Oh, there's so much more to say, but we've run out of time. I guess all we can say is if people are interested in this theory of the rays, they can read for themselves and try to get an understanding of how these energies affect them and the people closest to them.
And people influenced by the ray of science, concrete knowledge and science, that can continue to explore and reach greater depths, because there really is, as they look for the true nature of reality, we have to remember that there is no independent model. So this is that fact enables us to go on in our scientific exploration. That's about all the time we have for our discussion today, and you've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.